Is it never too early for a 53-man roster projection? Well, we're not the first one to do it, so it's clearly not too early. Take a man. I'm Craig. He's Logan. Let's get into it. I know that we look, I did one already. This is my second one because we did one right before I left on the radio show. And I know Standig did one, which was really good. Shout out to Ben and his new Substack. If you want to get really great Commanders coverage, definitely subscribe to Ben's new venture. But we're going to roll here. And we also did real research before the show. Did it. Went on the internet myself. So I have the numbers, Logan, for what they did last year at these positions. Yep. So when we start with quarterback, because that is the logical place to start, last year they wound up keeping three with Jeff Driscoll. I just don't see how they keep three this year. I think there are too many other good players, and I think they trust Hartman and or Johnson to potentially be on practice squad. And I think they can probably get them both there, at which point you don't need to use one of your 53 roster spots on a third emergency quarterback. I know there's some benefit to it because they rechanged the rules and all that kind of stuff, but I don't think there's room on the roster for a third. And I know Mariota hasn't been practicing, but to me, this seems like it's Daniels, Mariota, and let's keep it moving. But what do you think about the prospect of keeping a third?
Yeah, I think this is a really good question. A couple people have asked me about it, and I'm glad I get to address it here on the podcast. So first thing I'd say is I think Hartman's had a pretty good, you know, training camp so far. I mean, there's been some inconsistencies, but pretty good. Johnson, I think, wasn't getting a lot of reps early, has kind of gotten more reps now that Mariota's out. So you get a really nice juxtaposition of both of them. And so what I would say is my thought is, like, as the preseason goes and as those guys get a lot of reps, let's say Sam Hartman comes out and just – looks like he's looked in training camp, right? Where he's going against kind of backups and really dealing and got a good relationship with the backup, you know, kind of position player groups, and you can't get him. You don't feel like you can get him to practice squad. I think that could be a really interesting decision there, because I do think to give him his flowers, like today I thought he struggled a little bit, but I think prior to this he's looked very sharp in terms of his command of the offense. So he's a guy that if he has a really solid preseason, like very solid, I think he could be the third guy, and I think he would warrant that third spot. But I do agree with you. As of right now, I think he probably is a guy you feel comfortable getting to practice squad. But in terms of things to watch coming out of the joint practice, coming out of this preseason game with New England, like if Sam Hartman comes out and looks like he's looked in training camp, like watch out, because I think we might have to keep three quarterbacks.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought. I think the other thing with that is I wonder how much communication happens where, like, is an agent being told by their teams, hey, man, if your guy gets cut, then we're going to sign him. And does that information, can it get back to someone like Adam?
Sure.
And like how, you know, that's part of the job if you're a general manager, is to understand the scope of the league, like how risky really is it to do that. And so that is something that I think is, you know, that's nothing we're ever probably going to know, or maybe we do find out, oh, they kept him because they found out Team X was going to sign him. But I think for right now, I'm comfortable just saying, let's go two. I think sure. The other guys they would have to give up are probably more valuable and less likely to be able to get to practice squad. Running back is super interesting.
And super interesting.
Ben had three, and the guy that he had not making it, compared to the guys that I did in my first radio one, was Jeremy McNichols. Brian Robinson Jr., Austin Eckler, Bill seem like locks. Bill drafted, playing very well. Eckler and Robinson, your two starters, if you will. Is that one, like, is that a lock? Like, is B-Rob making it over Chris Rodriguez with the presence of Bill, et cetera, still a lock? Or is that like a radio hot take? And then what about McNichols as a guy who can play on all three downs at like a competent level and was a key backup for them last year?
Yeah, I mean, I think they love McNichols, and I think they're going to do a lot to try and keep him on the roster. I think he's a culture guy. Like, he handles himself well in and outside of the building. You watch him. He's a pro's pro at practice. Like, he's a guy that you want to make the team. I'm a huge fan of Chris Rodriguez, and I think he's looked pretty sharp. You know, he's limited compared to some of the other guys, which is what we've talked about. But in terms of being a pure runner, like, I'm not sure there's a better pure runner on the roster, you know? And I think obviously you can make an argument that Bill is that guy. We've talked about B-Rob's athleticism. To me, this is maybe the most interesting position in terms of position battle on the entire team. So if you said, hey man, they keep four and B-Rob doesn't make the team, or they trade B-Rob, or like, that would not surprise me. Or, hey, B-Rob's a starter. Great. Like, that wouldn't surprise me either. I think it's really just depends on stuff that we can't know, which is what I mean is, like, how are they how are they as professionals inside and outside of the building? Like again, the other one that catches me with B-Rob is like, he's up next year. So do you like, if there's a trade opportunity for a guy who's up next year, like, do you pull that string? Like, I don't know. Like, cause he does seem to have value around the league. So that's
right. For instance, like Joe Mixon started the season on PUP in Houston. If Houston calls you and is like, hey, especially if they want to give you one of your picks back. But you know, if you want to get a draft pick from Houston, for Brian Robinson, and you have Chris Rodriguez and you have Bill and you have Eckler and you have Big Nichols. Like, I think it's like these two sentences don't feel like they go together, but B-Rob is probably the best back on the team and is also okay if you trade him.
Yeah. And I think that again speaks to kind of this analytics approach to the position, right? Like the analytic difference between B-Rob and like Chris Rodriguez is not huge, right? You feel it as a fan, you see the difference in athleticism, but like in this offense, I'm not sure it makes the biggest of differences, right? Especially if you have, you know, if Bill is the guy that we think he can be, and he's had a really good couple of days of camp. But and the only reason I say B-Rob is a trade value is because he does have name recognition, he does have value, we start a lot of games. So, and I'm not saying they're going to do that, but this one is really interesting to me, because let's say Bill comes on and looks like the dude. Right now you have a surplus value at the position, or C-Rod has a great preseason and you can't get him to practice squad. Like all of a sudden you got two dudes, and I think they want to keep McNichols. I think they want to keep Eckler. Like those guys feel like as close to locks as you can get. Obviously there's things that change, but I do think there is a lot of room here for flexibility depending on how the stuff at New England goes, the stuff at in the first preseason game goes, and then the rest of the subsequent preseason. And that's where I'm like, this one, I don't know, because I think we still need more information.
And you talk about trade value, like most teams or a lot of teams have this problem. So like how much trade value is there really? And like that becomes a hard thing too, of like, well, is it really worth it for a seventh round? Like, is that analytical difference worth a seventh round pick? Maybe not. Maybe a fifth. Like that's a different situation. But you're not going to get a first or second or third or a fourth rounder. No. And so like, what's it worth to you? And especially because there are so many good backs that get cut around the league, it's such a bizarre position in that way. But in terms of the actual projection, are we going for Robinson, Eckler, McNichols, Kroski, Merritt?
That's kind of what I feel.
Feels right. That and feels you'll right pray that Rodriguez gets to practice squad.
Yeah, I think so. I think that feels good. And again, like even Felton's had a pretty solid camp, you know, catching the football, doing some man-to-man coverage kind of stuff that has caught my eye. But, you know, you can only keep four. And I think Eckler is a guy, Robinson, McNichols, and Merritt feel like the four you want to keep.
All right, tight end. I know, Logan, you want to keep seven, but we're going to, I think, narrow it down. I mean, in some ways, this feels obvious, right? Yeah. It's Ertz and it Bates, Yankoff.
This one feels easy, especially with Yankoff playing as well as he is on offense right now. I think he definitely deserves an opportunity to make the 53. I mean, the offensive production I've seen from him in camp, coupled with the special teams, like I thought, you know, maybe Tyree, but he's got the shoulder thing going on. Cager, like I saw him talking to the trainer today, he had like a sleeve on his knee, like where's he at health wise, right? Yeah. Cole Turner feels like a guy you could easily get to practice squad. And again, if you're just comparing offensive production, Yankoff's been, you know, very, very good. So Zach, Bates, Ben, I think has got, again, he's not maybe flashed the way fans wanted to, but I think he's had a very consistent camp. And Yankoff, this one feels like kind of status quo.
All right, let's not spend any extra time on it then, because we got two position groups left on offense, and this is where things get fun. Receiver.
Whoa. All right, here we go.
Yeah. Last year they kept six. By the way, these were the six. McLaurin, De'Ami Brown, Luke McCaffrey, Alamide Zaccheaus, Jamison Crowder. Can you name the sixth?
Oh my gosh. I don't know if
the answer is no. Byron Pringle was the sixth.
Oh yeah. No way. No way. I could have named that one.
Respectfully to Byron Pringle. Yeah. No, I went, wait, what? He was on the team last year. He was for like 5 minutes. I think six is the right number. And I think five of them are pretty easy. The sixth one is the one that's hard. McLaurin, Debo, Luke, Jalen Lane, Noah Brown. Those feel pretty lucky.
So,
Terry, Debo,
yep.
Luke McCaffrey, Jalen Lane, mm-hmm. Noah Brown. Mm-hmm. Any chance outside of something very silly happening that any of those five don't make it?
Those feel like the most consistent, like the most likely to make it. It feels that way, you know. And I think then you look at that sixth receiver spot, which is weird because you have Lane in there too, who's going to be a little bit of a returner. So that sixth receiver spot feels like maybe like a gunner, flyer type role, 2-1 kickoff type guy, which Moore has done, which Strachan has done. So I would kind of say it's a two-horse race between those guys. And people say, why not Gallup? Gallup doesn't play teams. So that's where, unless he kind of hits an offensive rhythm here over the next couple, which is entirely possible. Like, I feel like it's going to go to one of those guys who are better on teams. Like Strachan today, they were doing like a vice drill, you know. Mm-hmm. He's 6'6". So he kind of throws the first guy down, is able to turn the corner and probably makes a play on the returner if it's real life with pads on in a game. So if he can do some of that stuff in preseason, like, that's the one. And Moore too, he's done that too. So I'm going to kind of clump both those guys together. Those feel like the guys that have a shot at the roster here.
Moore had such a good spring and was playing a lot. And I think, from what I know, has been still playing a lot in Terry's spot.
Yeah.
Like a guy that they truly trust on the outside. He's a 10-year vet. Like, he just has the know-how. You can trust him in a way that's going to be harder to trust a guy like Strachan, who's a little bit younger. Although he's not like super young, right?
I think he's 25.
He's been around a little bit. But I think the Gallup thing, you know, that was always a super duper flyer. And there's a chance that he's still just super rusty and maybe he can knock the rust off. But I do think the special teams point is a really good one, because while Jalen Lane is probably going to play some on teams, it'll a lot, obviously his value is best on teams as a returner. And, you know, Luke, I know that today he struggled a little bit on some of the special teams stuff. Like, he's a former quarterback. Like, that's not going to be where he excels. So getting a guy who's a rotational receiver piece that can be a go down and get it on special teams kind of guy, that does feel important. So again, it's July 31st. We're not even in August yet. Who do you want to put in as wide receiver 6 right now?
I think I've seen it. It depends on what you want. Do you want the reliability of Moore? Do you want the flashes of Strachan? Or do you want the youth of like Ja'Cory Brooks as an example? I think Ja'Cory Brooks is going to be on the outside looking in. But if I had to put money on it, and again, I'm a traitsy guy. Like, I like the idea of having a tall guy on the team, but I'd probably go Strachan just as of right now. But now that I'm talking to myself and thinking about it objectively, I'm going to say Moore. Moore would be the guy I'd go with here.
Okay. I think that's the direction I was planning on going as well.
It's close, though. It's very, very close in my opinion right now.
Reliability is just hard to pass up. Like, you don't last 9-10 years in the league unless, like, that's a long time, as you well know. That was your career. Like, you lasted that long because you could do these little things and you were reliable. And like, you don't last that long without that. So I think that's part one. Part two of that is like, the younger guys feel like more likely to get to practice squad.
Yep.
So like Ja'Cory Brooks, you know, unless he goes out and throws down in every single preseason game and is just balling out, in which case he will probably make the team. Like, he was an undrafted free agent this year. Everyone already passed on him 7 times. So you probably can get that guy to practice squad, even if he's got more long-term upside. All right. Offensive line.
Ooh, yeah, spicy.
Yeah, this is fun. So I had, last year they kept 9. I had 8 on my initial list that I did last week.
Who are the 9?
I know there's going to have to be what?
Who were the 9 last year? Did they have like someone who was in between?
So last year they had Coleman, Allegretti, Biotish, Cosme, Wiley, Lucas, Scott, Dieter, Chris Paul.
Okay. Yep.
So I already need one change because Nate Urbig retired.
Yeah.
So Tunsil, Coleman, Biotish, Allegretti, Connerly, or Wiley. Those are your 5 starters. The other Connerly or Wiley is your first backup tackle. I think Trent Scott is definitely there. Here's the other thing that's changed as well is, I think Sam Cosmi is going to make the initial 53 on like active. Like the way they were talking, like, is he the pace that he was on? Like, is he going to make the team? Even if he's not available week one, if he's available week 2 or 3, you just make him inactive the first couple of weeks.
I mean, you've
or done, do you keep him on PUP through the first 4?
You've done ACL rehabs. You know how that goes. And like, I've done them. And like, yeah, you're back running around, but like, to get, I don't know, I probably would just be cautious with him. You know, I don't care how good he looks. Like, I want him to get a couple of practices under his belt.
I don't disagree.
So I would probably start him on PUP. And again, like, even like, let's say he's not ready for week one. He's going to be okay for week two. Like, what's an extra 2 weeks to make sure that he's 100% healthy and feels good about the knee? Like, to me, I would rather err on just being a little bit more cautious, make sure he feels good, get him the reps, get him up to speed, get his cardio back into place. It just feels like that extra time is only going to help him, you know? So, like, that's kind of my approach. I agree that it sounds like he's way ahead of schedule, but I'm always a little bit leery of that, because he did it in January, right? Or what was it?
Yeah.
December, something like that. So
it was January, because it was the Lions game.
Yeah. So he's not even like really 6 months out yet, is he? Like, what?
So he would be, but September, if that's January 1, September 9 in terms of months of the year. So we're looking at, by week one, it's almost 9 months, which is not unheard of.
Right.
And especially, trying to think movement wise, like an offensive lineman, like it's not a ton of, like,
it's just super people around the leg, you know what I mean?
Yeah, the confidence in it.
Yeah,
I mean, you do have to push off laterally, although less so guard than tackle, although some of the pull stuff they do,
right? So I would just say, like why not? I mean, if he's on schedule, make the 53, great. But if he's not, like, why rush it? Why, you know what I'm saying? Like,
okay, so let's keep him off for right now. So he starts the season on PUP. He doesn't take up a roster spot because he started preseason on PUP, as opposed to having to put him on PUP, which is a whole separate deal. Okay, so with that, you've got the five starters plus the extra swing tackle. I think Trent Scott is probably your fourth tackle.
Feels that
which
way,
means you need someone else inside, if not someone's else inside. Chris Paul?
Feels like Chris Paul right now. Like, and again, like, we'll see how the preseason goes, but I think they like him. I think he's done a good job. I think he would be a really interesting addition there, you know?
So then the question is, do you go 9 with Dieter, or do you just wait till Cosme gets back and then move on someone else somewhere else on the roster, and you have those 8 plus a 9th?
Well, I think it's interesting to think about, you know, like, Allegretti playing center, if he can do that, which it seems like he can. I think he took some snaps a couple days ago. I wasn't like super locked in, but I heard somebody mention that. That seems like the move I would like to go with, you know, just to keep more, just gives you more flexibility. The other name that I think is interesting is Foster Sorrell, because he plays guard and tackle, and he's done both in practice. So if you're looking for another kind of flexible piece that's played football, man, he played for the Chargers last year. So, like, that's one that I would just kind of say, maybe, you know, out's like a puncher's chance of getting in there if he has a good preseason, because he looks good at tackle, looks good at guard. He's working with the threes and the twos. So, like, you're not getting the ones out there all the time. But if I was going to keep one, that would be it. It would be Paul and then probably him.
Okay. I think I'd rather just stay at 8, because the thing about an offensive lineman is, like, there's only so much value on special teams. And, like, so you're just automatically kind of eating an inactive spot without a ton of optionality. They did. And so, I mean, 9 is definitely not unheard of.
And also, the other point here, too, that's important to just acknowledge is, like, with the larger practice squads, you could elevate. If you can get one of those guys to practice squad, you can just elevate them up on game day, which they did a bunch last year.
That's kind of my thought, is, like, the way Dieter played last year, I don't think it's going to be that hard to get him to practice squad, unless there's a team that's just, like, screwed at center or somewhere else, and they're like, we got to sign a guy who's played football. And if that's the case, like, I don't know that I'm sweating it too much. I think I probably just would keep 8, hope it practice well. Because the other big difference in between this year and last year's rosters is we've kept an extra running back. I guess it's just the extra running back, and we only kept 2 at quarterback. So we do have room for one more on offense if we wanted. But there's just so many guys on defense that you want to keep. And then the other, you know, thing that, it, you know, whether you count this guy as a defense or an extra special teams guy, is Nick Ballore was signed week one last year.
Yeah.
And so, like, the extra specialist, if you will, like, you have to find room somewhere for that guy on the roster,
right?
Which is why I'm kind of inclined to say, I think we can get some of these guys back up O-linemen to practice squad, call them up as much as we need early on, and just go with 8. That's my inclination.
Okay. Yeah, I like it. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how guys, and this is another one where if some guys play really well, this changes. But I think as of right now, that feels good.
All right. So there's the offense. Let's go defense. And then if we need to circle back to this O-line, because we come up with an extra spot, we will.